The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude, and Wendell, and obviously a very tough day for all of us in here. G'day, Del. G'day, Jude. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, mate, magic round was magic until yesterday morning, you know. Just so tough because I, you know, Sunday mornings we like to roll over a little bit and, when you're in the hotel and you're thinking, okay, where am I going to have for breakfast this morning, a bit of room service or something, and the next minute I saw sunrise and just, you know, Roy, just so many times, you know, just so tough. It was just, he's a year younger than me. So we grew up playing cricket against one another and obviously, I can't believe it. It's just, it's a wave of emotion time after time. He's got two beautiful young kids. You know, his missus, we've played the Bulls Masters and that together. No one does it better than Roy, mate. Like, just so hard, like 46.
Yeah.
I just feel for the kids and his missus and just, it's just so tough. Just, Warney, Rod Marsh,
Dean Jones.
Yeah, Australian cricket has been absolutely hammered over the last 18 months in particular, and the last couple of months, obviously, with Warney and now Roy. Here's a tribute to one of Australia's greatest cricketers and certainly greatest personalities.
The new batsman is Andrew Symonds. He goes high again. That is a massive six, and it is out of the ground by a long, long way. Symonds finds the gap, and he brings up his maiden shield century, and deservedly so. A lot of pressure on this young man, and he has delivered the goods today.
A good shot, very good shot. Boy, what a powerhouse he is.
Shot. That's Andrew Symonds' best. A genuine half volley. Punished.
Oh, so strong. Monstrous strike again from Symonds.
That could well be it. That will be it. That is a brilliant one-day 100 for Andrew Symonds. His first for Australia.
That particular innings was life-changing for me as a player because I now had proof and I now had a method to how to go about scoring my runs.
And he's hit that straight down the ground. That's a great hit. Oh, that's a beauty. That has gone all the way for six. Andrew Symonds is taking the Pakistanis to pieces.
He's been waiting for one of these for a long, long time. It races him to 96. That's the way, Simo. Get through the 90s quickly.
Collingwood comes on and I thought mid on, mid off, up. I'm thinking if he does slip one up there, I think I'm going to have to take him over the top. And sure enough, three balls later, yeah, I got one in my arc.
He has it.
Later on that night, I'm in the dressing room there, I'm having a drink, and I'm thinking, I look across at Haydos, and he's got this huge red mark on his forehead. I said, what happened to you? He goes, it was you, dickhead. When you got your 100, you crushed my helmet onto my head that hard. You give me a bit like blood blister on his forehead.
You beauty! There's a smile. There's a 100. There's a cricketer.
Yeah, he certainly was a cricketer that put a smile on our face, an absolute entertainer. Never forgot where he came from, and with all the riches of the IPL, walks away, goes back and lives exactly where he grew up. And Fidel, you in particular, mate, this is not easy.
Oh, you know, it's, you know, we're going to celebrate obviously Roy, but just the emotion and the person that he was and always will be. You think about the people that he surrounded himself with, mate. You know, if you're a bullshitter, he doesn't like fake people. You're out of his circle, and he'll call you on stuff. And you know what I love, mate? His footy brain and his cricket brain were unbelievable, mate. Like, he'd say to me, he goes, you've been dropping a few bombs lately. He goes, mate, what about your technique? I'm going, mate, like, yeah, I get it, mate, I get it. But you know what? We could have honest conversations. We'll have a beer, I'll catch up for a feed and that. But you know what he used to hate? He used to hate when he'd ask you to go fishing, and I'm not interested in fishing. My attention to detail on fishing.
Water and all that.
I get bored.
Yeah.
But you know what? It wasn't about fishing. It's about having beer and spending time. And sometimes we go too fast in this world, and like it just looks you by. Roy did things at his own pace. Yeah. Roy did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do them. And we've lost another great one.
We have footy shorts on, no shoes, on a boat, with a beer, with a line in. He was a simple
incredibly
soul.
Loyal character.
Bon Jovi, The Rush Hour, Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M. Of course, our tribute to Roy. We'll continue with Crash Craddock at the end of this hour, then Brad Haddon in the second hour. Still can't quite believe it. What about this, boys? Trent Barrett quits the Bulldogs. Time as Bulldogs coach last year, this year. Games coach, 34. Games won, 5. 3 wins and 16th last year. And 2 wins and 16th after 10 rounds this season. Did you see this coming at all, Del? Or were you expecting for him to get a bit more time or to feel like he had a bit more time?
Yeah, look, I thought he might get a bit more time. I know his winning percentage hasn't been great. The writing was on the wall, I reckon, when Gus Gould took over a couple weeks ago. Even though, you know, I said before, we've all done that. But I think Dogs fans were just getting frustrated that they've had enough. And I feel sorry for Trent because he'd want to be a head coach. Mm. You know, look, you know, Seibold went through it. I feel for Baz. But it's a results-driven business.
But he's quit. You know, are you surprised by that? Are you surprised that he's quit?
He took it out of their hands, though.
So, like, but why would you do that? Why would you not get the payout and do it until and secure a bit of money for your future?
He's read the tea leaves. He's gone, I'm on the way out.
And I think we talk about mental health and the build-up, you know, 4 beautiful kids. Mate, imagine the pressure there. His wife, Kylie, just a tough one. And I just think sometimes you look at the passion that he rides it with. He just wants the best for his team and for those boys. And he probably thinks that he's letting them down and he probably can't do the job. And so it's not about the money for a while. It's probably about his headspace and trying to do the best thing for the club, but also himself.
They brought Burton, they brought Addo Carr in. It just hasn't been able to gel, has it?
No, and then don't forget Kickow and Reid Marnie going there next year. So it's just tough. It's just tough all around.
Friday night's lost to Newcastle as well, a 16-6 loss. And there was the crisis meeting that was meant to be held, and then he's just sort of chosen and said, no, I'm out.
So who now? Who takes over now? Any thoughts at all? Is there any whispers up there at Magic Round? Did you know that it was coming?
No one's seen this coming, so I don't know. But I'll tell you who, they probably can't get him, but Cameron Seraldo, he's the next big thing as a coach. I think even Wayne Bennett's trying to get him as an assistant up at the Dolphins.
So do you think... Okay, if that's the case, here's a bloke that actually took over the job and did a good job for Penrith, but he's an assistant, maybe looked upon as that's his role. Is that Barrett's role? Is he a great 2IC and not the man to be in charge?
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to say this, but I know he's a good assistant. You know, look at Penrith when they were, when they were flying, and then sometimes it's probably, I don't know, sometimes some players or some coaches are better in that role. But even though we talk about the Dogs and... I know some people don't like the guy, but, mate, Shane Flanagan is probably the guy the Dogs need at the moment.
Well, he won a premiership with Cronulla.
I know, but he's got a hard edge to him. I don't know, you know, Gus might be having those conversations with him.
Would they sound Freddie Fridler out at all?
Yeah, I just don't think Freddie would do the job, because this New South Wales job, they might, but Freddie wouldn't do the job. He doesn't need to do that job.
What about Gus Gould?
I don't think Gus needs to do it.
For the rest of the season, I'll take it. Thanks, lad.
Mate, Gus, he's
got a big enough ego.
No, yeah, but his attention to detail. He wants to do the media stuff, his corporate stuff. Mate, he's very relaxed. Mate, who'd want to be a head coach? But, mate, probably Shane Flanagan's going to be a man. I reckon that's what they're going to be after.
Up next, we talk to Crash Craddock, as we remember, Andrew Simons.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now for this.
A maiden Test Match 100 for a dream entertainment.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Remembering the great Andrew Simons.
There's a smile. There's a 100. There's a cricketer.
Yeah, he certainly was a cricketer. He certainly was an entertainer. And he certainly was one of the best blokes you'd ever want to meet. We've got Crash Craddock on the line, who knew him well. G'day, Crash. How are you, mate? Are you still in disbelief like us in here?
Yeah, I have to say, Gus, there is that sense that is it all a dream, given that we've had Rod Marsh, Dean Jones and Shane Warne, and all real essential guys in the fabric of Australian cricket. They were really just not just stars, but larrikins, characters, you name it. So it cuts deep for sure.
Crash, I mean, it's just, you mentioned the larrikinism, and I think people just warm to Andrew Simons because of that large character. He's just... incredible amount of skill and just willingness and loyalty to his teammates, wasn't there?
Yeah, and even when he was having problems with the press, Jude, and we had a million blues with Simo, we were always intrigued and respected the fact that his mates had his back and they liked him. Like, if you went to Matthew Hayden and said, I had a big blue with Simo, and he said, mate, I get it. I know what he's like, but he's a good guy. So it meant a lot. Now, from your time at the Swans, if we spoke to you about someone in the dressing room, you said, no, he's a good guy. Yeah. That would mean a lot. And so he was – there was a few different sides to Andrew Symons, but basically he was a throwback in a way that he was belonged in the 1970s. He would have loved – he felt like a caged hen by the end of it with all the – everything structured, everything disciplined. It just wasn't him, you know. He was a free spirit, a maverick spirit, and the last of the larrikins, I think you'd have to say. And let me just say one thing. A far better cricketer, a test cricketer, than given credit for. Mm. He averaged 40. England would kill for a player like that. And 1 wicket a test.
But isn't it funny? We talk about sports and being athletes. He was one of the great athletes of any era. But I love how he talked about how he asked Wayne Bennett about an opportunity to come to the Broncos. Mate, I said, Roy, mate, I know you're a cricketer, but you're never going to play NRL.
Yeah, the year was 2001, yeah. And you were there. Yeah. And he said, he said to John Buchanan, I just don't trust the Australian hierarchy anymore. I don't like it. I just don't feel loved and warm. So I want to go. I'm retiring and I'm joining the Broncos. And Wayne, as only Wayne can do, said, as a rugby league player, Wendell, you're a fabulous number five batsman.
Yeah.
Teach yourself, please. And in a way, he went. So, but you know, that was him. He did things on impulse. And he was a character, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Simple conversations on the phone. I remember ringing him once and I said, where are you coming out of? He said, oh, Bunnings. And I said, how are you going? He said, mate, you know what Bunnings is like. I went in to buy one nail and I've come out with two saws, three hammers and a new ride-on mower.
Crash, I mean, T20 cricket, he only caught the tail end of it, from his career perspective. But if he had a full career in T20, it could have been even bigger and better, wouldn't he, I guess, in that
sense.
Well,
that's where he made a bit of his money, at least, didn't he? That first IPL and so forth. But in the end, he decided,
not
going back up north. That's what I...
But imagine having a full career, Crash. It would have been unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He got the first big paycheck. Remember that?
The
first auction? Yeah. Ricky Ponting was the... Ricky Ponting got $300,000 and Andrew Symons got over $1 million. And, hey, don't you reckon there was a bit of a ribbing over that? Because suddenly the guy, it was like the upside-down version of the Australian contract list at that time. Oh, he was born for 2020 cricket. He really was. You know, the big hits, the chutzpah and the show business. And he was in demand. I remember one year Shane Warne said to me, he said, mate, Andrew Symons is killing it with private sponsorships. He's got about five of them. But that sucked him into a world he wasn't suited to.
Mm.
Like, he'd sign a deal where he'd do sort of 10 days for 200 grand with a company. But after day one, I remember, he rang up his manager and said, I just can't do this. I'm not a corporate guy. It's not my scene. I just want to go fishing. So his fame created problems for him, guys, along that way.
With Roy, you always have honest conversations. And as you know, he's fiercely loyal. I remember my time in rugby when I had a couple of misdemeanors. Mate, he was lecturing me.
Justin Langer said today in an interview that Symons had the best bullshit-ometer he's ever seen. Like, he could just tell the difference. And I love the story of John Buchanan, you know, that he sat John Buchanan down before the 2007 World Cup and gave him the 10-point plan. He said, this is how you're going to coach us and this is how we're going to win it. And guess what? It was Buchanan's farewell tournament. The 10 points sort of made sense. And they did.
Mm.
You know, like, but he was cheeky too. He called Alan Border Grandpa Smurf. Now, no other cricketer in the history of the game would go anywhere near a statement like that. Mm-hmm. But Border laughed at it. He wouldn't have laughed for any other person.
Fantastic. Good on you. Thank you for sharing some moments with us. And obviously, we've
so
all got
sad,
moments in here. We just still can't believe it. But to hear some of the stories put a bit of a smile on our face, Crash. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
2022 is underway. A beautiful pass to Biff. Somehow manufactures an upgrade. And Edric Lee, he gets over. What a play. So Magic Round starts with the Newcastle Knights win.
Man, the kickoff's gone dead.
Here's the little kick over the top. It's a beauty. Reynolds regained it. Oh, Adam Reynolds, magic.
Ilias to tap. Numbers. Out it goes to Milne. Too easy. Too good. And South Sydney get their second.
That's a tough one for the Warriors.
On the last play.
Oh! Stop it! You can't be that big!
McCoy!
It is the Penrith Panthers victorious over the Melbourne Storm.
What an afternoon it's been.
Throws to the middle to Warrior Hargreaves.
Beats one, beats it up, gets over. They couldn't hang on any longer.
Wow.
Sutton has been played on the line. That's an awesome sight. Big Isaiah Papali'i. Here comes Suwali. Here comes Suwali. Here comes Joseph Suwali. It just gets better and better.
The Sydney Roosters, they are back in business.
Oh! And that's a try! That is a try! Junior Tupo has scored a great try!
It's the North Queensland Cowboys 36, the West Tigers 12. Full time as Magic Round is over.
Yeah, there you go. How to handpick a couple of matches, start the ball rolling. The grand final preview, in inverted commas, or will it be the Panthers getting the job done over Storm? I wish the Storm was at full strength, but of course most teams aren't. So what did you pick from that match, Dill?
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. But like, this is why when people say, oh, mate, it's going to be a Storm-Panthers grand final. Mate, there's so much that can happen. And obviously there was a couple of injuries, you know, obviously Pappenhausen, he's a big loss. You know, young Wishart. Mate, he's a good young player. He's a good utility. But, mate, he had to fill Pappenhausen's shoes in those conditions. They were tough, those conditions. But the Panthers, they just keep keeping on. Like, Melbourne will have to let that one go because that was an aberration. They just didn't turn up to play. Panthers were classy. Everything they did was classy, the Panthers, in those conditions. Mm. And they just kept putting tries on. So, look, the Storm are going to be okay. But they'll let that go.
I want to ask you about the Cronulla Sharks because you've always said when the whips are cracking, they'll be their top four side. But where's their format? They dropped the game against the Raiders. They've lost to the Broncos previously and the Storm as well. Where do you see them at?
Yeah, look, I mean, I said I think last couple of weeks, I see them a top four side, a genuine top four side. But at the moment, you know, they've been up for a while now. They're starting to understand what it takes to be in the top four side. And, you know, they got embarrassed, obviously, on the weekend. The Broncos obviously put them to the sword. There'll be a bit of soul searching there. But look, it's not going to happen overnight. But they need to get back in the winning ways. And they got a really good squad there. But I just didn't pick that coming.
Cronulla are fifth at the moment, only on four and against. So behind the Roosters and in front of Parramatta and Brisbane, all on 12
what
points.
What about the Chooks?
Yeah, mate, I think I said to you guys, the Chooks, mate, they're a classy football side. You know, people keep saying...
But they lost to the Bulldogs, they lost to the Dragons, they lost to Newcastle. Yeah. Three teams that are really struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and you add those 6 points to that, they're top of the table.
Yeah,
they're
losing
games they never normally would lose.
Yeah, but that's going to happen. Like, I tipped the Eels to win that game after what they did the week before to Penrith. Mm. This is why we love rugby league. So the Roosters, now, they know what they can do. So that's when people go, oh, mate, my Roosters are struggling this year. They're going to be all right come back into the season because they build their confidence up and you can have Kyrian Walker there in your halves. Mate, they've got a pretty big side, so let's not get carried away by that.
Okay, second hour we're going to have Dill's Magic Round wrap-up on field as well as off field.
I'm very interested in that side of things.
Me
as well.
Too, just after 5 o'clock. The top four are Penrith, Melbourne, North Queensland and the Roosters. The bottom four, Canterbury looking for a new coach. The Tigers, Newcastle and the Gold Coast Titans. No one expected that. Yeah. The Rush Hour, Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our tag. And if you want more Rush Hour, you can download our podcast through the Listener app as well. That's LASTNR.
Just before we start, I mean, just for our listeners, you've got the pink shirt on today, the collared shirt, and you've got the rug of your chest is just...
What are you doing, mate?
The chest hair is hanging out the top. You're looking a little bit Austin Powers today.
I was going to say, yeah.
Is that
groovy, baby?
Is that sexy? Like, I'm hearing...
No. I don't find
I'm
that
hearing
sexy.
From the sales girls in here that it's not a bad look, so I've just dropped an extra button.
I'm pretty sure I didn't see any button. Sales girls. Maybe the sales guys were looking at you. But not the girls.
Want to talk about dobbing in your tight-ass mate, and please do that on 133353. The best caller gets a $100 Swish voucher. Surprise someone with a video message from the best Aussie sports stars and legends at heyswish.com. So $100 for our best caller. You got a tight-ass mate, Del?
A lot of my mates are quite generous.
Okay. We don't care about them. What about your tight-ass one?
I've got a tight-ass one. I feel bad because he's had a rough couple of weeks, but I'm going to dob him in.
Yeah, sure.
So last night, I was going to just stay in. You know, obviously, I didn't really want to go out in Brisbane. Sort of Brisbane is a
such
good
a
place.
Such a professional.
Yeah, but I
well,
just...
Well, you'd already been Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, so night off, Sunday night.
I didn't go out Thursday night either.
Oh.
So, yeah, just because I'm professional.
Okay.
But Lottie Dakiri calls me and he goes, mate, he goes,
Lottie.
He goes, mate, come out. I was going, mate, nah. I said, I'm not real keen. And he goes, well, look, there's this place in the valley. And when I rocked up, I'm glad I did go. It was a good night.
Benji, it was disco?
Yeah, it was like the old school, like the 90s, where you could just get up and dance. I saw John Scandalous. Mate, it was like everyone.
John Scandalous.
Warren Smith was out. Some of the players were out.
What's Warren Smith like out on the dance floor?
Oh, Warren Smith's a really good bloke. He's a real sort of quiet, conservative bloke. So the Fox crew were there. Emma Lawrence was out. She was on fire.
Yeah.
And then Lottie invites me with a group of his sort of friends.
Hmm.
And I'm shouting drinks all night. But that's what I'll do because...
Didn't pull the wallet out.
He did not pull the wallet out. Like...
What?
I don't know. He might have bought one round, but...
But you were there for hours.
I was there for a good couple of hours. Wait, once I'm out, I like staying out.
Yeah. Okay, so Lottie's a tight ass.
Yeah, actually, Lottie's conservative with his money, but, yeah, he wouldn't shout if a shark bit him.
Yeah. I've got a mate of mine, a mutual friend that you know, Jude, as well.
Lives across the road.
We'll just call him... Oggy, and how tight that bloke is, right? I've known him all my life, right? And I love him. He's one of my great mates, so all's forgiven. But he used to turn up at parties with half a bottle of wine back in the day where it wasn't a screw top. He put the cork back in. So he'd turn up with two beers out of a six-pack.
It's already been opened.
And then the six-pack had been opened and four beers been taken out. Like, he would have done that, brought the two VBs with still the plastic around it and the half bottle of wine with the cork still in it. He would then go to what we'd do back in the day and put it into a bathtub with the ice and everything. Then he'd grab a couple of crownies.
Yeah.
He'd leave the two VBs in the bottom of the bath. He'd pick up a couple of crownies. He'd put the bottle of wine in there and then be on the good stuff all night.
Oh.
Would not shout if a shark bit him. Exactly the same as you, Del. Give us a call. Dob in
not
your tight ass mate. Warren, how are you, brother?
G'day, gents. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I'm dobbing in my son, Jasper. He is a tight ass because if we're out anywhere and he needs any money, he will transfer it into my bank account so I have to pay the $2.50 at the ATM to get the
That's incredible.
Jasper's too good. Jasper's going to be rich.
That is nickel and diving, isn't it?
He is good. He's one of the best.
He's red hot, Wazza. Thank you very much. What about Scotty and Engadine? G'day, Scotty. How are you, mate?
How you going, boys?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks for listening to the show. Who's your tight ass mate?
Yeah, his nickname's Arthur because we're having a shout at the bar. He calls, I'll pay for four drinks, and then comes back and says, boys, I haven't got enough for the full round, so I'll pay for two, and I'll shout the beer and the Coke.
Oh, Arthur. G'day, Mel. How are you?
G'day, Mel.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Who's your tight ass mate?
Well, it's not a mate. It's a guy that I had a date with once.
Oh.
So I met him at the resort that he was staying at, and I brought all these nibblies. So I'd spent about, I guess, $20 on nice nibblies. And we had some nibblies by the pool, and then we had dinner at the resort. And he went and paid for the meal. And I said, oh, thank you. And he said, oh, that's all right. He said, you can pay me half later. And I said, oh. Okay. Oh. So as it turns out, I didn't really like the guy anyway. So I left that night, and about 2 weeks later, he texts me his bank details. And how
no. You're kidding.
How do these people live? I don't understand that.
But, you know, I paid him, but I deducted the nibblies.
Good on you, Mel. Good on you. What about Maddie? G'day, Matt. Who's your tight ass mate?
Mate, me mate, around the corner. Wanted to buy a kegerator, $1,600 for the setup. Instead of doing that, listen, mate, I've just bought a new fridge. I'll give you me beer fridge. Didn't ask for any money. I've got to pay $5 if I go around there for a schooner.
He makes you pay $5 for a schooner at his house.
You donated the fridge, Matt.
Hey, I'm hearing you.
I'd be ripping the fridge back out of it.
What's his name?
Hey, mate.
Yeah, well, give yourself an uppercut, champion. What about Troy and Gosford? Finish it off for us, mate. Who's your tight ass mate?
Yeah, morning. Afternoon, boys.
Yeah, afternoon.
That's okay. Dazza, and he's a Bulldog supporter, funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
But we go to the football, and if you eat half his chips, he makes you beam it, the money, there and then.
Right then.
What?
If you eat half his chips.
Yeah, he makes you basically get an app. And, he says, okay, well, you've eaten $3.30 worth. You pay $3.30 to me now.
Okay.
It's one of the worst character traits around.
Exactly. What point do you go, you're not my mate anymore? Like, if someone said that to me, I'd brush them.
Well, you know, you're driving to the football, you pay for parking, you know, you get him in at a good rate, and then he does that to you.
Yeah.
Like, really?
You get one chance with that sort of stuff. Up next, Dell gives us the magic round wrap-up.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour.
Magic round wrap-up. This is we went through a few of the games a little bit earlier with the KO Mini Footy highlights, Dell, but let's talk about your Broncos.
Yeah.
Smashing Manly and the fact that Tom looked really sore and really injured and played the entire game. Were you surprised that Desi didn't take him off and look after him, especially when the game was done and dusted quite early?
Yeah, I was sitting there and I was talking, myself and Gordon Tallis and that, going, what are they doing, mate? Like, you get him off. You know.
Did any word come through that there was some sort of other issue why they didn't take him off?
No, he's a blue chip player because, mate, once again, you know, We've got such a good call team, different mixes, like Ben Teo, myself, we called with Ernie Raymond at one stage there. And then also the first call, I was excited. It was me, Gordy Tallis and Maroon killed it. Like, everyone just loves Maroon. So Gordy and I couldn't believe it. And then obviously Emma Lawrence on the sideline, which, you know, that's the A team right there. But I was looking at him, he was never right. So if he's not right, why is he playing? But also sometimes... You're too confident for your own good. You just want to lay his team down, Tommy. So Tommy Trbojevic at 60 or 70% is better than, you know. Just
a lot of blokes at 100.
Yeah, I know. But still, you got to put him in cotton wool.
Yeah.
The Bunnies, an important win for them over the Warriors. Only a two-point win, but sits them inside the eight.
Yeah, no. That's, well, look, we saw what the Bunnies are. We know what they're capable of. And at the moment, they can't get their timing. You know, they can't get their timing, but... that was an improvement.
Does Nathan Brown keep his job because of that second half fight back?
Yeah,
I mean, at some stage, you've got to start winning some games, right?
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I know we can't use an excuse, but, mate, they've been away for like 2.5
mate,
years.
Mate, they're up in Queensland. What a place to go.
But still, when you're playing...
Probably better than New Zealand.
When you play in New Zealand, you're playing at Mount Smart Stadium. I do get it, but, With Brandy now, like, someone said about his winning record or ratio or whatever, and it wasn't great or something, but, like, I just think, you know, I don't know.
So you're going to give him a year back home before you start really judging
him? Yes, but there'll be pressure on him through.
I reckon that's lucky for him.
Yeah, our media circles, there's a bit of pressure. Like, I hate putting pressure on coaches. And I remember the time, was it Matt McGraw? No, Brad Arthur. You said, mate, Brad Arthur, you know.
What do you, that's right. Hey,
No.
I love Brad Arthur.
No, when I didn't have Parramatta in my top four, or seventh. But the reason why is because they go to Darwin and do that, and then they lose.
Beat Penrith, and then they lose to the Chooks.
That's, you know, and that's why, not that I don't trust them, and I saw some Parramatta fans up there, and then they go, mate, imagine being a Parramatta fan, Dell, you know. Yeah.
Hey, lastly, just the Cowboys 7-3 now after their win over the Tigers.
Mate, I start to believe there. Look, Todd Payton, you know, he was under pressure.
They can't win the comp.
I don't think they can win the comp, but I tell you what, they can be. They're a top four side now.
Especially if they get a home final up there.
Yeah,
you've got Cronulla and Cowboys in the top four.
No, but
now,
I'm thinking they're showing me enough to be in that top four now. Like, even the style of football they're playing, it is, mate. It's, you know what, Val Holmes down the centre. Obviously, I don't know who left Drinkwater out of the squad when they first couple of weeks. He's playing Mackay Cutters.
Okay, I'm not interested in that anymore.
Enough of the footy. Yeah.
Hey, what happened off the field?
Magic round. Okay. Yeah. Was it good off field?
Well, no. Yeah, it was good, mate. One thing about magic
round. All those stamps on your hand, are they to get in places or?
Well, I'll tell you.
You look like, someone at Scully's.
Well, okay. So these are, the first function I had was for Triple M on Thursday, yes or no?
Forget about that one. Okay. What are the next one?
Yeah. So the next one, obviously out and about. Mate, Brisbane has changed so much. Put it this way.
What's out and about, mate?
Mate, out and about to, like, the valley, in the city. There's, like rooftop nightclubs and bars now. So one of my...
Dancing?
I was dancing, yeah. One of the first places I went to was to catch up with Willie Mason and Jonathan Thurston.
The sunscreen on the back. Thurston, that image is still
Thurston,
one of the
Thurston, Mason and Sailor.
Yeah.
Rooftop bar, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Okay, so, continue.
Yeah, so we had a good night there.
Is that it?
Yeah. And then, but it's about all catching up again. And then, obviously, I actually had a luncheon on the Friday. What about this? My guest speaker was Lottie Tekeri. He was my, it was.
Your plus one.
Private room, 30 people at the port office. and Lottie got held up in Hobart. So at 11 o'clock, I had to make a call to someone.
Who was that?
Not a bad replacement. Steve Renoff.
Oh,
mate, oi, phones away.
The Pearl.
Scott Mackey. It was, you know, he hosted it. And Amanda Lucas, we'd organised the Pearl. Can I tell you, phones were away. I have never heard Steve Renoff speak from the heart like he did. If you get an opportunity to let Steve Renoff tell his story, what he's gone through, to be where he is, it was unbelievable, mate. So, and then obviously last night, I went out, caught up with Benji Marshall, a few of the boys. Emma Lawrence was on fire last night.
What time did you get home last night?
2:30.
I'm glad he made it here.
Yeah.
It's actually,
yeah. I didn't want to kick
it's
on.
Very impressive.
Because 100-1 to get here.
Yeah. people wanted to go to the
I
Treasury.
I lost money on you.
No, people wanted to go to the Treasury at the casino. And I said, I'm not going to the casino. And don't forget,
good lad.
When I left, I gave Lottie a hug, and because I haven't seen him for a while since his mum passed away, but I was just laughing, saying how she used to call me Sailor, not Wendell. Hey, Sailor. Yeah. You've been behaving yourself?
Yeah. What did you used to say?
Yes, Mr. Takiri, sometimes.
Boys, over the weekend, you might have missed it because of the footy. Eurovision was run and won, and this is the winning song. Don't turn it down. How good is it? Okay, this is a country that won it. So just put your manners back in. The Ukraine won it.
Now, on the wave of goodwill, absolutely. After the invasion of Russia, to be able to take home Eurovision.
Yeah. Turn it up again a little bit more. I love the whistling bit. That's
nice. It's catchy.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be on your top five most played. It'll be on my playlist
on Spotify. But the thing about it, you're absolutely right. They've given it to the country that deserves it the most at the moment. They're going through the most stress. And that's what I love about Eurovision. Australia came 15th in the end. I'm not quite sure why we're in Eurovision, because we're not in Europe. But I love the fact they invite us along and that we came 15th, which is a solid performance.
It's a solid
effort. You know?
It's all voting, so it's we're only a small country.
No one cares if you come 15th. If you're not in the top 10, no one cares.
Okay, so Australia needs to lift. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Take it a bit more seriously.
Yes.
Okay. Well done to the Ukraine, though.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ukraine. You are. Can we play it again a little bit more as we go out to the break?
That's going to be your ringtone soon, isn't it?
Very catchy. The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. What simple thing do you deserve an award for? How about this, boys? A badge was awarded the local scouts for a girl for going on a chip run and bringing them back.
What, $5 fish and chips?
$5 worth of chips.
Yeah.
Not even fish and chips, just $5 worth of chips. Chicken salt, apparently. I'm not too sure, but I'm adding that to it.
Yep.
Got a badge.
Brought it back to the group, and she got a badge.
Like, that's
going on the chip run.
It's not exactly courageous or like a
skill.
A skill or something that.
We
give a ribbon for anything these days, don't we?
Participation. You've got to come first, second, or third, I reckon. If you come fourth, it's a lesson learned, right?
Yeah, so it's only the snowflake generation.
Well, it can be like that. We don't use that word around here at Triple M, but I know where you're coming from. As long as there's love around it, Jim.
There's always love there. There's always love. It's just. Yeah, but how are you going to learn? Look, you got to learn to be competitive and to win. I know we've got to be a bit more kinder.
You've got to learn to lose as well.
That's right.
Learn to participate. Yeah. I get it, but don't give them something for participation. So let's throw it out there. 133353. What sort of award do you think you deserve?
No, for that. Yeah. For that.
133353. What do you do?
Act that you've done.
Yeah. What do you do that you believe you deserve an award for? A bit like your missus saying to you. When
I've looked after the kids for a bit and been a father, that's all I've done. And, you know, she goes, do you want an award for that?
Yeah. Well, when I don't like doing this, but cleaning the toilets, the kids don't do it. Tara doesn't like doing it. And I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I sort of do it, I just want a bit of a thank you. And then they go, there's no medals here, mate.
Yeah. That's the type of stuff we're talking about. Perfect. What award, what simple task would you like an award for? What about Martin and Wentworth Point? G'day, Martin. What sort of stuff would you like an award for, brother?
G'day, guys. Love the show, by the way.
Thanks,
cheers, man.
I reckon I deserve an Olympic gold medal, an Oscar, and every other award there is known to mankind for doing this. Pulling out my wife's and daughter's hair out of the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot down there too, Marty.
I'm dry reaching every time I do it.
You can't understand they've got any hair left on their head. There's so much there. I've got a wife and two daughters. I know what you mean, Marty.
Mate, I'm pulling out half a wig every time.
Thank you, mate.
It's when you're standing in ankle-deep water, it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that's dodgy. What about you, big fella? We'd like to give you an award, actually, Wendell.
Why?
A, for being here today, because we weren't expecting you to
magic
be.
That's my job, though.
But what about?
The vending machine downstairs just gets hit in a big way, but you're so generous. You always come back in. And so? I mean, we should rename that thing, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
it's yours.
Yeah, I like the vending machine.
Mate, Vendel Sailor, we'll call
Vendel
it. Let's go to Darren and Roselle. G'day, Dazza.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Good, Darren, thanks, mate. What is that simple thing you deserve an award for?
Mate, I think I deserve an award for being an Essendon supporter.
Oh, yeah. Mate, you guys have done nothing for like 30 years.
How embarrassing were they on the weekend, Darren?
Mate, I've lived in Sydney for 22 years and I've seen them win once. And then the other time we won, couldn't even go to the game because there was no crowds because of COVID.
Oh, that's right. Mate, you're not missing much.
You deserve an award.
You do deserve an award, Dazza.
But I remember, Sydney doubted them up.
Yeah, remember that 2000? Mate, I didn't realise it, mate. James Hurd and Matthew Lloyd, two of the great Essendon Bombers, mate.
Of course.
And they weren't drinking much. They had a different cut to Andrew Johns, myself, and Gordy. Up next, Brad Haddon joins us to talk about his teammate, Andrew Symonds.
Yeah.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now for this.
A maiden test match 100 for a dream entertainment.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Remembering the great Andrew Symonds.
There's a smile. There's a 100. There's a cricketer.
Yeah, there's a cricketer, okay. And there's one of the best blokes you ever want to meet and a great friend of Roy's. Brad Haddon's on the line right now. And Hads, I know this is a very difficult time for you, so thank you for joining us on the show. Are you still in a bit of disbelief?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Yeah, I'm like everyone, not only just the cricket world, but the sporting world. Roy was a great Australian, a really loyal mate, and as Del knows, and I'm just numb.
Hads, it's Jude. I guess, like, we're all in shock. I didn't know Roy. I guess you... When you have a character as large as he in sport, you feel like you sort of know him, but you being part of that inner circle and knowing family and friends and things like that, I can only imagine the hurt and turmoil from his loss.
Yeah, and I think the hardest thing is his two young kids, Chloe and Will. Yeah. I know that they're at our place on Friday. Young Will plays rugby league with my youngest son, and Del will like this story. It's true Andrew Symonds, like, with Will started to play rugby league with the Rhinos, with the boys. And he said, "This doesn't make me a blue bagger, does it?" He said, "I've been talking to Dad." And he said, "I'm still eligible for Queensland." And just the innocent on his face. And I can promise young Will and everyone around, mate, you're a true Queenslander. Dad was very, very proud of you. But, yeah, there was no way there was a Symonds going to be a blue bagger, that's for sure.
Mate, you're right, mate. He's a beautiful human. But even his kids, they're quite charismatic themselves. And I remember when we played at Bulls Masters, Roy always did things to the best. Like, if you turn up to something, the grassroots stuff, the functions, he'll have a beer with anyone. And I think there was me, him, and Jimmy Ma, and we're up in Cairns, and we're walking past the pub at 10:30.
There's a combination.
Yeah, I know. Me, him, and Jimmy Ma. It was about 10:30.
I like this story.
No, about 10:30, and Roy goes, "Want to have a beer?" I said, "Mate, we can't have a beer at 10:30 in the morning." He goes, "Yes, we can. Let me give you a little tip. We had a couple of beers at 10:30 in the morning, and that little function at midday." But Roy just did things his own way. He broke the mold, and it's just so tough at the moment.
And just coming off the back of Warnie, and then we're talking about Dean Jones. We're talking about Marshy, that's been forgotten about because of the timing around Warnie and Warnie being Warnie. I mean, there's four absolute legends there in the last year or so that cricket have had to bury, and it's just all way too young.
Yeah, I tell you one thing too, going back to that story there, and you'll enjoy this, Della. I remember when he did his bicep in just before the 2007 World Cup.
Yeah.
And it was touch and go whether he was going to make the tour. So they eventually took him on the tour. He's under a strict sports science protocol, which wasn't Roy's go. We decided one day in the Caribbean we're going to go fishing, and we've all packed in to go fishing on the boat. And Roy's got his esky full of beer. He's carrying both hands, so his biceps doing great rehab. And we had a great day fishing, caught some mahi-mahi. Roy showed us all what to do, and we had a few beers, and we got off the boat, and the physio was waiting for us. And he said, "Mate, you're in a World Cup. You're representing Australia." He said, "Mate, I tell you what. I said, I would be un-Australian if I didn't have a beer when I went fishing. So that's un-Australian. He just walked off, and we looked at the physio and said, he's right. But he was the only one that could get away with it. He's one of those guys, and we've all had them in sport, that no matter what the situation, you wanted him in your team. Mm. You see a lot this day and age where teams are talking to each other before a game. And the one thing he stressed to us, he said, do not acknowledge your opposition. When we walk out there, when we get there off the bus, it's us versus them. Mate, we'll open the door of the change room at the end of the game. But he did not acknowledge opposition. To the start of the game, to the end, it was about us and do whatever he could to be the best he could be for his teammates and his mates. And that's why he played the game. Yeah. A lot came with the profile. But Andrew Symons, he'll just be remembered with the zinc and the big long locks and someone who just wanted to play the game for the right reason.
So many great memories, Hads. Thanks so much for joining us, putting a smile on our face, mate, and hope that everything goes well on the lead up to obviously laying him to rest.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.